The Old Testament way of things, the New Testament way of things, and then the faith promise, missions, giving, where that fits in. And I pray that you might bless in a marvelous way, give us a more understanding and a deeper way as to what you would have us to do, Lord, and the fate of souls around the world of men, women, boys, and girls that need to hear about the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you and love you for being a great God to us now, Lord. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, most of all, do what you would have us to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, one of the questions that we gave on should I tithe was this: can I take my tithe and use it for missions? Of course, the obvious answer is
no.
Why? The tithe is whose? The Lord's. Amen. And the tithe also goes to the local church. The tithe stays inside the family of God. Guess where missions money goes? Outside of the family of God, to people that have no affiliation to you whatsoever. It goes to missionaries, but the missionaries are out there and working outside the family of God. And so I want to go through some things here very quickly as to how the Old Testament did things, how the New Testament did things, and then what this faith promise is all about. So you're in Malachi here, because as we consider the mandate on tithes and offerings given in the Old Testament, we must differentiate the tithes and offerings in the Old Testament, the tithes and offerings of the New Testament, and to understand where faith promise fits at in all this. Otherwise, we're going to end up giving our tithe to missions or giving an offering to missions, and it shouldn't be that way. Amen. It should be totally different. And so let's look at a couple of things here. First of all, the tithe in the Old Testament, what was it for? First of all, it was for the ministers, it was for the ministry, and it was for the maintenance of God's work. Amen. Ministry, ministers, and the maintenance of God's work was primarily responsible for things inside the family of God, not outside. Where's a good example? We have Malachi right here. Verse 8 says, "You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole," what? "Nation." Then he says this: "Bring ye all the tithe into the" where? "The storehouse," that was the Old Testament economy of things, "that there may be meat" where? "In mine house." So we know the tithe goes inside the family of God. He said, "Bring it in my house. Bring it in the storehouse." He said, "I want you to do that." He said, "Improve me now." He would say, "The Lord of hosts, if I have not opened you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there should not be room enough to receive it." And so tithes in the Old Testament was for ministers, ministry, the maintenance of God's work, primarily responsible things inside the family of God. By the way, you also work and you bring home a paycheck. Do you bring home your paycheck and put it in Alan's house? No. Well, you say, why not? Amen. You don't bring a paycheck home to put it in Alan's house. You don't bring home a paycheck to put it in Gary's house. You don't bring home a paycheck to put it in Janet's house. You don't bring up home a paycheck to put it in Dimitri's house. Amen.
Dimitri said,
why? Because it's for your house. And God said, "Bring ye all the tithe into my house." And so the tithe is for the house of God, the family of God, for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God. Then we have another issue here. Notice what it says down there in verse number 8. He says, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes, where should that go? In my house. And then what else he say? And offerings. Notice he didn't say they went together. He says, this one and this one. So there's a tithe that I should be responsible for, and there's an offering. Is that missions? No. It is not missions. Let me give you an example. Offerings in the Old Testament were sometimes voluntary and sometimes not, and was primarily used for manufacturing more and meeting needs for things, again, inside the family of God. I'll give you an example. Go to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Pastor Wright did 25 this morning. What do we want to do here? We want to differentiate between what offerings are there. G2, can you do me a favor? Go get another Bible for Dimitri up here. Exodus 35. And in Exodus 35, of course, they're about to make the tabernacle. If they're about to make the tabernacle, why not go back into Egypt and say, give us some money? Number one, they get killed. Number two, God never is going to take from them to give to the tabernacle. Well, guess what God said? Now, was the tabernacle to stay in the family of God or to be outside the family of God? Inside the family of God. So again, tithe stays where? In the family of God. Offerings stays where? In the family of God. And the offering here was a voluntary offering, and it was used to manufacture more and to meet needs inside the family of God. Notice verse number 4. He says, take ye from among you and what? Offering unto the Lord. What did Malachi say? Ye have robbed me in what? Tithes and what? Offerings. Okay, notice this. Take ye from among you an offering unto who? The Lord. Whosoever is of a what kind of heart? Willing heart, let him bring it and what? Offering of the Lord. They give the list of things that they could bring. So everybody could bring something. Amen. And then notice down here in verse 21. And they came. Everyone whose what? Heart stirred him up. And what? Everyone whom his spirit made him what? Willing. And they bought what? The Lord's what? Offering to the work of the what? Tabernacle of the congregation and for all his what? Service and for the what? Holy garments. Everything that's listed there stayed in the family of God. That was for Moses, that was for Aaron, for all the ministers, for the furnishings. All that stayed inside. Was it a tithe? No. What was it? It was an offering. What did he say? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And so when you look at the Old Testament economy of things, the tithe was for the ministers, the ministry and the maintenance of God's work. It stayed in the family of God. He said, it's going to my house. The offerings in the Old Testament were sometimes voluntary, sometimes not. It was primarily used for the manufacturing of more, like the tabernacle here and the garments here and all those things and meeting of needs. Again, it stayed inside the family of God. Let's fast forward then. How does that apply to the New Testament? Let's go forward a little bit. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Luke 11, 42. So tithing, keeping with the Old Testament principle, tithing in the New Testament is much the same way. Matthew, Mark, and Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11, of course, Jesus here is getting on them about some things, and he mentions the tithe here. And so we see that Jesus approves of the tithe. And so the tithe in the New Testament was for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work as well. What primarily responsible things inside the family of God. Notice verse 42 of chapter 11. He says, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe, what is that word? Mint and what? Rue and all manner of what? Herbs. Is God going to eat those things? No, those were things utilized by the house of God and the ministry of God in their ministry service. And so he said, these things, you need to bring those things in here because we're going to use those things. Again, keeping with the New Testament principle, this is still inside the family of God. This is a tithe. He said that you have to do these things. This is ministers, ministry, and maintenance of God's work. This is going to stay inside the family of God. He says down there, you tithe the mint, rue, and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye have done, and what? Not to leave the other undone. He said you ought to tithe. So Jesus also approved of the tithe. And we know it goes not just to the ministry, but also ministers. I'll go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So just speaking about the tithe here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul here talking about defending his rights as a missionary and as the man of God and what he could do and what he couldn't do. Notice what he says down here in verse number 9. He says, for it is written, matter of fact, verse 8, say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? And he's talking about the person that does a ministry or a work is responsible for getting paid. Amen. By the way, I used to be in the military. I didn't go to the military war field at my own expense. When I went over and I got sent to Belgium, I didn't pay for the plane ticket. I didn't pay for the lodging. Guess who paid for it? The person that sent me, Uncle Sam. And guess what I did when I got there? I got paid. Why? I didn't volunteer to go. Well, I did volunteer to go there. But I didn't want to go there. The government sent me there. So they paid my plane ticket. They paid my lodging. They gave me a salary. They paid for me to go here. And so Paul is making the argument in verse 7. who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? And then he says, doesn't the law say the same thing in verse 6? Verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? Or saith it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in what? Hope. I mean, Pastor White used to work farm. Pastor White, you going to plow with your mule and not give him anything to eat? What is he going to do after a while? He's going to die. He's going to pass out. Amen? He says, he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. Pastor White told me they used to eat off of some of the stuff that was on the farm. Amen. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing? We should reap your carnal things? And so he's dealing with the same principle, that the things that come into the house of God are there to take care of the ministers of God. And so the tithes and the offerings go to that same principle. Of course, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17, 18, we're not going to go there, but it just talks about a double honor unto them that labor in the word, okay? And so we see the tithe in the New Testament was the same principle as the Old Testament for the ministers, the ministry, and the maintenance of God's work. But then we have offerings in the New Testament as well. What was the New Testament offerings for? Much like it was in the Old Testament. For manufacturing of more and meeting of needs, although they didn't have the same facilities like we have today, they still had a place to meet and they had needs to meet as well. Amen. And so when you come down to the New Testament, these offerings were also responsible for the needs inside the family of God. I'll give you for instance, go over to John chapter 19. To show you a classic need that we're all familiar with that we may not look at as an offering. And again, the offerings in the New Testament oftentimes were voluntary, especially once you got past the local churches, past the Gospels. In the Gospels, they were still under the Old Testament economy of things, but past the Gospels, they began to do things a little differently. But John chapter 19 and verse 39, this is an example of an offering in the New Testament. Notice verse 39. This is Nicodemus. 1939. And verse 39. There came also, now this is after Jesus' death. Matter of fact, go to verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Notice verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and bought a mixture of what? Myrrh and what? Aloes, about 100-pound weight. That's pretty expensive. That's about 75 pounds, according to what my Bible says here. Now, what did he do? He offered that. Is that something that he had to do? No. Was that a tithe? No. What was it? It was an offering. By the way, y'all gave me a bag of blessings. You know what that was? An offering. It wasn't your tithe. At least I hope it wasn't your tithe. So don't put the tithe in there. Put it in an offering tray, man. It was a bag of blessings. It was an offering. Birthday cards, and we're going to shower the missionaries and things like that. What is that? It's an offering. It's an offering. And get back to John chapter 6. And this is one that we really don't think about as an offering. John chapter 6. So we know the tithing is the same principle as the Old Testament, as it is in the New Testament, for the ministers, the maintenance, and the things of God. But then also you've got these offerings, manufacturing of more and meeting needs. And John chapter 6, and of course, this is the lad who gave of his loaves. And notice what it says here in John chapter 6 and verse number 9. There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That's probably the kid's lunch. What are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, the number about 5,000. Jesus did what to the loaves? Took the loaves. What was that? An offering. Do you think he went over there and said, give me that bread and stuff, boy? I don't think he did that. I think he said, sir, would you mind? I want to get that in my hand so I can multiply that. And the lad gave. I don't think Jesus had to wrestle that. Was that boy's tithe? That wasn't his tithe. That was the lunch that mom prepared for him. And so he gave this offering. And again, what's the offerings for in the New Testament? It's for manufacturing of more and meeting needs the same way they did in the Old Testament. to help inside the family of God. This is all staying within the confines of what Jesus is doing here. Show you one more over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 34. Acts 4 and verse 34. Acts 4 and verse 34. Again, this is the New Testament way of doing things now that's going to be just slightly different from the Old Testament, but the same principle is involved. Acts chapter 4, and notice what it says down here. Matter of fact, go to verse 32. The multitude of them that believe were of what kind of heart? One heart and what kind of soul? One soul, neither said any of them that aught or anything of the things which he possessed was whose? His own, but they had how many things common? All things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that was, that word, lacked. Why? They gave an offering to help meet needs. That's the New Testament economy of things. The Old Testament, they did the same thing. They gave offerings to help meet needs. Notice what it says down there, that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold. What is that? An offering. What'd they do with it? Verse 35, laid them down at the apostles' feet. And what happened? Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. You know what that was? An offering. Was that their tithe? No, that was an offering. That was an offering. That's a New Testament offering that was given, much like they did over in the Old Testament when he said, hey, look, if you've got a willing heart, I want you to bring this, that, and that, and this, and this, and this, and that to help with the things that we need to make. And guess what they did? They bought them. What are they doing here? They're bringing it. Of course, down there, Barnabas sold his land, and then you find out some other things happened there shortly thereafter. So the offerings in the New Testament was for manufacturing more and meeting needs similar to the Old Testament was. Amen. However, we've got the tithe in the Old Testament. We've got offerings in the Old Testament. Y'all got that right? Amen. Is the tithe and the offerings the same thing? No. Are both necessary? Yes. Do we have the same thing in the New Testament? Yes. Is the tithe and the offering in the New Testament the same thing? No, they're different. But they're both necessary. Wait a minute, we got one more thing. This now. I didn't find that listed in the Gospels. I didn't find that listed in the Old Testament. Where did the tithe go? Family of God. Where did the offering go in the Old Testament? Family of God. Where did the tithe go in the New Testament? Family of God. Where did the offerings go in the New Testament? Family of God. Where did Jesus tell us to go? All over the world. Is that going to stay in the family of God? No. So now we've got another thing that we've got to reckon with biblically. The New Testament saints have a different mandate than the Old Testament saints. Contrary to popular belief, God never had dispatched Israel to go and win the world. Now, that was ultimately the goal. But they were stubborn and stiff-necked. They didn't do that. And so they did not give money to reach the heathen people. And so the New Testament saints have this giving opportunity that goes outside the family of God. The Old Testament saints were never mandated to reach the world, so their tithes and offerings stayed inside the family of God. The New Testament saints, however, have three giving opportunities. Number one, tithe inside for the family of God and the offerings. That stays inside. That's what you and I have an opportunity for, a tithe and an offering. Okay? What's an offering? Give you an example. Birthday cards, gift cards, benevolence, medical needs, anything like that. Anything that is not your tithe can be classified pretty much as an offering that you're giving through the local church. Building fund. Guess what? That's not your tithe. That's an offering. What is it? Manufacturing more, meeting needs. And so now we've got this other concern here. The tithe stays inside the family of God. The offerings stay inside to meet the needs in the family of God, to manufacture more. But then the Old Testament saints never had this special offering called missions. You never find them sending any missionaries. By the way, was Jonah a missionary? By every intents and purpose? Yes. And where did he go? To Nineveh. But who gave him the money to go? We don't find anybody giving Jonah any money to go. He didn't pay for that submarine that he took. God put him on that submarine. No, he put himself on that submarine. Amen. You hear about Elijah and some of these other prophets going to the kings of these other nations. And guess what? We don't find them funding them to go. God just sent them. However, in the New Testament, we have a funding. The special offerings designed to go outside the family of God, we call it missions. Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and teach how many nations? All nations. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me where? Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts. How are we going to get there? Missions. Missions. The principle of giving that we use is called grace giving. It's found in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, which we went over this morning. We call it faith promise giving, and we use this principle to reach the world with the gospel because that cannot be our tithe and it cannot be our mission, our offerings. It's got to be a separate type of offering. It's got to be a separate type of offering. Again, the Old Testament saints didn't have this equivalent. Their tithes and offerings all stayed in the family of God. So we can't take our missions and apply it to Malachi 3:8 and say, well, I'm giving my tithes and my offerings and it's called my missions. No. Those stayed inside the family of God. The obligation for you and I is to go outside the family of God, that never existed in the Old Testament. Furthermore, the tithes and the offerings of Malachi always stayed inside the family of God. New Testament missions goes to reach those outside the family of God. I'll give you an example. Go to Philippians chapter 4. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 4. Say, preacher, why are you talking about this? Because I have had good Christian people come to me and say, my offering of Malachi 3 is my missions. And you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't call that offering. You can call it a separate offering, but you can't call it that one to be right with God. I've got to give an offering to help my local church first. Because he said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Where have we robbed thee? Tithes and offerings. That stays where? In the house. So I've got to be right with God. I've got to do that first. Then I can give this offering called missions. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Paul is on the mission field, of course, writing back to the church at Philippi. And he said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. And that's talking about monetarily. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. And he's not talking about sending a letter. He's talking about sending financial help and some monetary assistance to him. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but who? But ye only. He said, Philippi, you guys did that. What was Philippi doing? They obviously were already doing their tithing to take care of the ministers and the ministry and the mission in the local church. They were obviously already doing their offerings to take care of meeting needs within the confines of the ministry. This was something totally different. They're going outside, above and beyond the tithes and the offerings by way of missions to help a missionary, and his name was Paul. What was the correlation? Paul helped get this church started, and they felt obligated to help him because this was one of the churches that he had started. And so when you come here, you won't find this equivalent in the New Testament. How many of y'all heard about Jonah writing back to Israel and said, thanks for supporting me? How about going to Nineveh? Thanks for supporting me, Nineveh. How about some of the other prophets when they went? He said it's not going to rain and he had to go in there to Zarephath and all those other places, did anybody fund him going there? The widow woman took care of him. Amen. We don't find anybody else doing that. Why? The local church wasn't in place at that time. So you and I don't have what the Old Testament had by way of missions. So a New Testament Christian basically has three offering opportunities. He can partake of the mandatory tithes, which he should do not out of law, because we're not under law, but out of love, out of gratitude that the Lord Jesus Christ saved our soul. And when he saved us, he saved every bit of us, and everything that we have belongs to him. And so out of gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, we should do it out of love. I mentioned this morning how I shared what I have with my children because I love them. By the way, thank you for those that contributed to my goodie bag again. I went home and opened it up, and guess what? We did the same thing. We got around the table, and I handed some over here. Heath bars and Snicker bars and Ferreros went over here and boom, we were eating stuff and everybody. And man, we were having a good old time. And I joked with him. G2 came over and I gave him the sticker. I said, here, you happy? And he just laughed. I did the same thing to Job. Here, you happy? And Job said, yeah, I'm pretty happy. Pretty happy about that, amen. Can be as rude as you want to, as long as you give me some sweet stuff, amen. Job said, matters not to me, amen. Why? Because I love him. I love him. And so tithe was something that was mandatory. It should be done out of love and out of law to meet the needs of the ministers and the ministries and the maintenance of the church to get things done. The offerings then in the New Testament should be done to meet special needs inside the family of God to manufacture more and to also get things done. But then the offerings that go to missions, that goes outside the family of God and is specifically designed to reach the world with the gospel in obedience to God's mandate in Matthew 28, Acts 1:8, Mark 16:15, and so forth and so on. That's our job. So we cannot take these monies from our tithing. We cannot take these monies from the typical offerings that should stay within the church. By the way, the fence offering is one of those offerings. That's meeting needs. I mean, y'all want the kids to come over here and vandalize everything we have? I don't. I have enough problem picking up all the trash when I do get here. Amen. And so the offerings that we have here is to get things done. The main thing Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Missionaries are surrendering every day, and they've got to get there some way. We have many, many missionaries that are already out on the field. Our job is to keep them out there. But guess what? If there is no local church to keep them out there, we have nothing to send. And so we've got to keep home taken care of. What did Jesus say? God said, meet in mine house. Because if there is no house here, there are no men. If we close the doors today, the 45 missionaries that we have on the field would all lose our support, every one. Now just imagine you multiply that by every church that's supporting missionaries. They close the doors right now. Guess what? All the missionaries come off the field just like that. Why? We've got to take care of this house first, tithes and offerings. Then we give another offering here. Preacher, we're strapped. No, God always gives you the ability to do what he wants you to do. Now, I'm not saying you got to be a Rockefeller and, give six figures. Now, if you can do that, praise God. You say, preacher, I can give two figures. Amen. And I'm having trouble with one figure sometimes. Amen. But God is able. And God is going to meet there. But our job is to make sure we're right with God in tithes and offerings first. Tithing stays inside. Offerings stay inside for the ministers, the ministry, the maintenance of God, meeting needs, and the upkeep of the house of God. And then we can go outside with this other offering once we have the primary things taken care of. Now, can we take on thousands of missionaries? I know of some large churches that can only take on a handful. But the handful they take them on for about 500 pieces. $500 a piece. Amen. By the way, if we ever send a missionary out of this church, it's going to be hard pressed for us to take on any other missionary. Why? I plan on giving the missionary that comes out of this church a good piece of money so that he ended up going to 1,000 churches. And then worse than going to 10 churches and they all give you 10 cents. Amen. That's not a whole lot. But the more we have people here that are mission hearted and see the heartbeat of God is to win souls. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The more you and I can do for missions, but we've got to make sure we do the main thing. Meet in mine house. Take care of this place first. Give an offering to this place first. But not to neglect this one. Would Jesus say, hey, these things you ought to do, not to leave the others undone. The world still needs to be reached. Do we have a mandate from God to reach the world? Did he tell us we had to take on every missionary that came knocking at our door? No. But we do need to support missionaries. And as they go and as we get the opportunity and as we get the ability financially, we take them on. We take them on. And so, folks, I hope that makes it a little clearer to you with Old Testament, with New Testament. The same principle applies to Old Testament, New Testament, but this idea of missions, the Old Testament saints didn't know anything about that. As far as being financed and sent through the local church, they didn't have that capability, nor did they have that mandate. You and I have that mandate, and we have that capability. Now we just need to do it. Just need to do it. Amen. And so let's make sure that we do our debt level best to make sure we do what we do from love, not law. By the way, we're not under the law. But because we love God, we should want to do it. I don't know about you, but I'm indebted to Brother Rod Branch. Talking to my wife and putting some questions on her heart. And she in turn talked to me. And I in turn talked to him. And we in turn went to church. And we in turn got saved. I praise God that there was a missionary named T.J. Tilley to get that church that I could go to. I'm in Belgium. I didn't ask to go to Belgium. And I wasn't saved anyway, so I wasn't looking for no church. Looking for the nightclub. But when I got there, God already had a missionary there. If somebody didn't send him out, guess what? If there was no King, North Carolina, Calvary Baptist Church, there would be no T.J. Tilley. But if there was no soul winner to win Brother Tilley, there you go. Folks, let's make sure we're being soul conscious. Let's make sure that we're not neglecting to do what we know we need to do by way of talking to people. But then, making sure we're giving as well. We may not be able to give a lot, but little as much when God is in it. I'm convinced. I'm convinced of that. So you do what God wants you to do when it comes to missions. Right now, we've got about $800+ that we need to collect each week to meet the needs of our missionaries. Say, preacher, what happens if we don't meet the need? We make adjustments. Same way you do in your home. If you don't get all the money you think should be coming into your house, what do? You make adjustments. You make adjustments. And we may have to make adjustments. I hope not. But if we have to, guess what? We have to. We have to. But let's not shortchange the power of God. Let's not downplay the power of God. We have this mandate. We know that. We have tithes that we have to pay. We know that. We've got offerings that we should be paying. We understand that. But we have missions responsibility as well. Let's do our dead level best to make sure we're doing what God would have us to do. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. God, the information that's been given, I pray it was valuable for us to glean, Lord, and to see what it is you'd have us to do by way of missions. Thank you so much for your instruction. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the principles that are there. And thank you for the way you guide, the way you direct, and the way you lead. Help us to be faithful to do that which we know we need to do. And Lord, continue to guide us into the way of truth that you would have us to walk in. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you for what you've given by way of missions and missionaries. And Lord, many of us here are saved because of a missionary of some sort, whether it was an individual person or someone sent through a church local agency, just a soul winner, Lord, they still were a missionary to dispatch the gospel to us and help us to do our debt level best to trust you to raise the finances that we need to make a difference in this dark world. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor White is going to come up and give us our closing.